Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore. From the queen of flowing mountains to the south held by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome, she's known quite well by all. She's the combination on the Warbags cannonball.
We're back. This is your host, Ray I. Legends of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame weekend, Nashville, Tennessee.
For all of my great, wonderful listeners, there's a lot of heroes out there in the outdoors, and so many of those are now in the Legend of the Outdoors Hall of Fame.
And there certainly is some great legends going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. But we're going to change directions a little bit during this segment. I recently attended the iFam reunion. I want to talk about that. I'm going to talk to you about back in the day in the Ozarks. But before we get into that, we've got a big event coming up with the Conservation Federation of Missouri. We're going to do an interview and visit with Tyler Swartz of the Conservation Federation of Missouri. And we're going to let Tyler Swartz, the events manager, tell you all about it. Hey, Tyler, what do you guys got going on?
Hey, Ray. How's it going?
Good, brother.
Our event's coming up Thursday, September 6th in St. Louis, the Explore the Outdoors St. Louis event. It's the last stop. Our tour around Missouri with the Conservation Federation. So we're going to the Schlafly Tap Room over on Locust Street in St. Louis, and it's going to run from 5:30 to 9, and we're going to have some raffles going on, meal, drinks, tours of the brewery, and got a silent auction going. And we also got our keynote presentation by Will Witherspoon. He's the, if you remember, he was the 2007 Rams team MVP, and he's actually turned into a farmer and conservationist there west of St. Louis. He's got a farm, and he does grass-fed beef and chickens and stuff, and pretty neat operation. So he's going to talk about his career in the NFL and then also, you know, his transition into being a farmer and a conservationist. So going to be fun. We're going to have several of our affiliate groups that are in the St. Louis area there. Well as local businesses and sponsors, so you have some guns to raffle, some trips. It's just going to be a really good, fun event in St. Louis.
Sounds like a great event. I believe me and the Vogelbugger is going to come over and see you guys. What time does things get started? What time should people arrive?
So it starts at 5:30. We'll have tours of the brewery starting off then, and kind of a social hour, and then we'll get into our program. And dinner and drinks and stuff, and then Will's going to speak after dinner. We're going to do a live auction in there too, and should wrap up about 8:39. It's on a Thursday night. Hopefully people will be in town and be able to come out and spend a few hours with us and to network, and that's what we try and do at the Conservation Federation, is put the hikers with the bikers and the campers with the fishermen and the different groups, and bring everybody together at the Conservation Federation. So we really strive to do that, and these events are a great opportunity to do that.
Okay, how can they get information? How can they get tickets to this event?
confedmo.org/ST-LOUIS. So it's confedmo.org/St. Louis. And that's got the one-stop shop. Tickets are $75 a piece. We got sponsorship tables for a little more. For 12 people, it's $850, and gets their opportunity to get your businesses and come out and see us. If people don't understand what the Conservation Federation of Missouri is, this is a really good opportunity to get everybody that cares about the outdoors together and to spend time networking. And just even the average Joe listener that likes hiking the Katy Trail or the hunter or fisherman stuff, we need members. We need all those voices that come together for one cause. And we do this at these events, and people can come out and see what the Conservation Federation does. Our website,
sure,
confedmo.org, is a great place to start.
And they can also get a membership from there as well, right, Tyler?
Yep. Everybody that comes to the event will become a member that night. So that's
awesome.
Included in your registration fee.
All right, great. We're talking to Tyler Swartz, events manager for the Conservation Federation of Missouri. We just got an update. That's September 6th, right? Tell us again.
Yep, Thursday, September 6th at Schlafly Tap Room, 2100 Locust Street in St. Louis. Great event to come out for a good cause, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, well, I'll see you there. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray.
That was Tyler Swartz, the events manager from the Conservation Federation of Missouri. Come on down there and see us. This is a great event. These are great people. They're doing a lot of great things for Missouri. Going to change directions here a little bit. I recently attended the iFamily reunion in Potosi, Missouri. It's always a pleasure and an honor to listen to the stories of my elders, my Aunt Margie, my dad's sisters, 94 years old. And we visited for a while at the family reunion. She told me about back in the day taking the horse and wagon up on Johnson Mountain, the second highest point in the state of Missouri, to pick berries. Also talked to my Aunt Virginia, my dad's younger sister, about when they went up on the mountain with the wagon and the horse to pick berries. And a storm came in, and her and my Uncle Lee had to get up underneath the wagon. There was no place to get away from the heavy rain. What a different world we live in today. One just needs to look at Facebook and at the younger generation today. Such a change, and I know we don't want to get into I'm an old guy and back in my day type thing, but it is a different world. When I grew up, we took a lot of things from the land, as my ancestors did. And I found it really interesting when I was talking to them. Aunt Margie said huckleberry, and my Aunt Virginia said blueberry.
Some of the younger folks there at the family reunion, first of all, didn't know what a huckleberry was. And when my Aunt Virginia said blueberry, that brought up some questions because most everybody there of the younger group said they thought blueberries were in out east, and Missouri didn't have blueberries.
But actually, a huckleberry is a wild blueberry. It's also known as a deerberry, a sparkleberry, just a few of the names, and it's a low bush. They bloom and ripen over a long season beginning in April and continue through September. And what I found interesting was, if you've ever been to Johnson Mountain, well, even if you haven't been, it's rough rock up with glades, pine trees, hickory, oak, ash trees. Not the kind of place you would think about picking berries. However, this low bush blueberry, or wild blueberry, huckleberry, considered the juiciest of the most flavorful berries, grows on woodlands, Missouri's rocky woodland slopes and glades at higher elevations in well-drained acid soil. So that would mean up around the glades on the side of the mountain. So that's why they took the wagon up on the mountain to pick huckleberries. Of course, my ancestors and my family used the fruit for pies, fruit spread, sauces, muffins, pancakes, all these sort of. I remember as a kid, we picked lots of berries. I'm going to take you through some of the berries that we harvested. And I would imagine that today there's a lot of young people today don't even know what these berries are. Another one that I really remember picking as a kid and hated it was the gooseberry, because this plant has a lot of thorns on it. It's one of the earliest spring blooming edibles in Missouri. It says here it's got prickly branches. Yeah, it's got thorns on it. April and May, clusters of drooping greenish white slender flowers appear. Soon after, tiny green spears start to dangle from the thin stem. Really small berry. Now, I love gooseberry pie, and so did my dad and my grandpa and my grandma. And we pick these every year. They are just awesome in homemade pies. The gooseberry shrub grows 2 to 3 foot tall, scattered throughout much of the state. We found them back then around the edges, you know, from the timber to brushy openings and things like that. Of course, these berries can make jams, preserves, and other things as well. Boy, they could be super tart and make you pucker. And here's one a lot of you probably don't know about. Some of you probably don't know about. You older folks will. The wild strawberries. We used to pick wild strawberries close to the ground. They're a smaller berry than the tame type, but man, are they good. They have a more robust taste to them. Box turtles, that's where I always used to, when we used to collect box turtles, I always find them in the wild strawberries. The wild strawberries thrive in sunlit pastures, prairie land, rocky glades, here we go again, and open woodland slopes throughout the state. Beginning in April and May, fruits begin to turn like pink. As June rolls around, the strawberries put their familiar red color, attracts wildlife and children alike. Yeah, these are really, really good. I remember picking these. Wild strawberries yield fantastic preserves, tarts, ice cream toppings. It takes a lot of them to make a pie. And then there's wild raspberries, also known as black cap raspberry. And we always used to pick mulberries when it was right, especially a place to shoot squirrels. In early summer was the mulberry trees. We used to pick those. And then something me and Jan has been talking about lately, we don't hear anybody talk about dewberries anymore. The dewberry is on a vine on the ground. It's similar to the blackberry. Man, these juicy fruits, man, they are really good. Same thing, they make great jelly, jam, and other treats. They're also, we used to eat them just, you know, right on top of a dessert, for dessert topping. But my mom's favorite berry was the dewberry, as well as my grandma's. Then, of course, most everybody's still familiar with the blackberry. And I still, if you watch my Facebook pages every year, you know I pick a lot of blackberries, and they make everything, cobblers, pies, cakes, you know, pancake syrup. I like blackberry pancakes as well. There's so many things that was collected from the land. You know, walnuts in the fall. Some of you might remember putting them out on the road and running them over with the vehicle when you come in and out of the farm to get them broke down. So I had a bit of a different life back when I was a kid, because in my late teens and early 20s, I made my income from the land. I was a trapper collecting fur. We harvested anything and everything was out there, including digging roots, ginseng, golden seal. And back in the day, you will tell you how old I am, we used to shoot a coyote and take it to the courthouse to get a reward for a bounty on the coyote. But a lot of you haven't heard about that. It was just a wonderful experience at the family reunion set, and let those folks just talk and listen to the things that they remember as kids growing up in the Ozarks and on the on Johnson Mountain in Iron County. Just some really cool stuff. So there's all those things out there in the wild. And, of course, they took deer for the winter. And as a kid, you know, I was involved in the slaughter of pigs and cattle for our winter meat. Can you imagine a kid today being involved in killing a cow or a pig and getting it prepared and taken care of for the winter meet. What was really cool on the farm was in that those days they had a root cellar where they put things. Of course, they canned everything. My grandmas and aunts and uncles and everybody, they canned everything. Every type of, you know, they grew gardens, of course, big gardens, and used canned all the vegetables. They canned so many different things, even canned meats. They had a spring house where they kept the milk. They milked cows. It's just a totally different, you know, world. Everything came from the land or from the farm animals that they had on the farm for them to have food for the table. A big difference from just going to the store today. Back in the day, of course, they'd go once a month to the store to get, you know, certain things like flour from the grist mill and cornmeal and things like that, but everything else came from the land. Squirrel hunting was a big deal. They had big squirrel fries, rabbit hunting, quail. All these critters were taken from the field and brought to the dinner table and invite family and friends over for Sunday dinner. And anytime you went to grandma's house, you had to eat. There was a meal. And then on Sundays and Sunday afternoons after church services, they'd have big basket dinners, and people would bring baskets of food and put it out on the table from things they took from the mountain, from the land. It was just a great time to be alive. Of course, they had a hand pump outside, eventually moved that inside. I'm so old, when I was just in grade school and going back down to my grandpa's, they were still using kerosene lamps. Great time, something that I will always remember, and just a totally different world of how people survived back in the day compared to today. And with that, we need to take a break, and we'll see you all on the other side.